Amen. Well, let's give Jesus Christ a good hand clap. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm excited again for being in the house of God. Amen. Thank him that you all are here. Amen. Or y'all are here. Amen. Well, turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Everybody don't have it, so hold on. Mark chapter 9. And, well, look at verse number 17. I know y'all like the word here, right? So I can read more than one verse. Verse 17. Mark 9 and 17. Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." He answered and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." So it sounded like he was a little perturbed. All right. Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Sound like a legitimate question? But in verse 23, Jesus totally ignores the question. Notice what he says right here in let me read it again, verse 22. He says, "But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Well, the logical answer should be, see, he asked Jesus a question, did he not? He says, "If you can do anything, have compassion on us," right? So the correct response should have been, "Well, yeah, I can do something." I mean, is that right? That would be the proper way you would answer a question, right? You wouldn't just ordinarily ignore the question, would you? But he did. And basically, what Jesus said is, now I always put it like it's here. Basically what he said, if you kind of put it together there, he says, if you can do anything, have compassion on us. And so what Jesus really saying in here is, what if I can do anything? It ain't if I can do anything, is if you can believe it. That's the attitude that he's saying is it. He says, Jesus said, if you can believe all things. Wait, did he say all things? Wait a minute. Now, do you think all things mean all things? Maybe there are some things that is not in that list all. You don't think so? So if he says all things are possible to him who believes, then that lets me know, you understand, that if I'm dealing with stuff and I'm not getting no answers, it might be based on my believing. It couldn't be because he can't do it, unless. Well, let me add something else in here, which I know y'all don't think this way, but you know, you never know where product taping is, and you never know where tapes wind up, right? Well, then there's another thought that comes to mind that some folk have. Now, I know it don't happen here, but some folk have. Well, the reason why it might not be manifest, because I know I believe, is maybe it ain't his will. Maybe he's testing me. Maybe he's bringing all this into my life, if you will, to find out how much faith I got. Now, those are all of the things that Satan brings into a person's life to create one thing. You know, actually, Satan don't handle but one thing. Real quiet in this Baptist church? Okay, don't worry about it. But don't worry about it. Don't want to hurt anybody's feeling. But Satan don't have number one weapon. Amen. And that weapon is called doubt. That's the only weapon he got. So whatever he can do to create doubt, you know, it's taking too long. I've been praying about this 5 months, 2 years. You know what I'm saying? 10 years. Maybe this is my cross I have to bear. Amen. Maybe, you know, and all that. If he can create doubt, then you're through. Now, you know, that's his nature. If you remember correctly, that's how everybody, not y'all, but that's how, why the church has to be here. Go over here and say it over here. That's the reason why you have churches in the world today. Now, we have churches in the world today because the devil created doubt. He came to Eve, and he said, did God say? That's what he said. He didn't say, now, you know, God said this, but, you know, he didn't say that. He said, did God say that? Now, she had, and she said, yeah, he said it, and. So she added a little something to that. God ain't said nothing about touching the tree. He said, don't eat it. I mean, is that right? And I always bring this out, you understand what I'm saying, that, you know, really, the you know, where did she get that information from? Well, that's the only one that was around. Seemed like the husband is the one that added, because, I mean, when God told Adam not to eat of that tree, it wasn't no woman. How many know it wasn't no woman? It was just Adam. And then, you understand, God put him to sleep. Is that right? He woke up, you understand, and there was that woman. I mean, is that correct? All right. Well, so the only way she found out about the tree, Adam had to tell her. Now, I ain't saying that he did, but I'm saying she learned it from somebody by not touching the tree. You understand what I'm saying? But, you know, she learned it from somebody. Maybe it wasn't Adam, but I don't know who else was in the garden. But anyway, you understand, God, you know, Satan created doubt of the man, and she went for it. And like I always say, you understand, and then she went on and ate of that fruit, whatever was on the tree, we don't know. And then, of course, she did something really good. She turned and gave Adam some of that fruit. Now, my question would be, what is he standing there watching her disobey God for? He knew better. I tell folk all the time, y'all stand, if it was me, it wouldn't have went down like that. Amen. Because when that girl had grabbed that fruit, I would have slapped it out of her hand. And then I would have told the girl, God said, don't eat that. And if you do, you understand, you're going to die. And I don't know what death is because he ain't never seen it, you understand what I'm saying? But it sounds like something bad. And then God going to have to put me to sleep, amen, and give me another one of y'all because I am not going out like that. That's all he had to say. But he was so in love, amen, that he forgot God and ate anyway. Now, you know, God is so faithful. You know, when God knew, I mean, no, God knew what they did. But he always gives a person a way out. So when he come down, y'all say, he said, well, you know, where y'all at? You know, and he said, well, who told y'all, you know, y'all was like that? Amen. Y'all see what I'm talking about? What you hiding for? You know, where the fear come from? What are you scared of? And so now he's giving him a chance to redeem himself. The girl did the right thing. So I'm here to tell you, it ain't the woman's fault that when, you know, that the church is in the mess that is in. I mean, not the church, but the world. Amen. Because it ain't her fault. Now, a lot of churches, just don't get nervous. I'm going to really get ready to say something now. A lot of churches are still in mess. Amen. Because they got a problem with that woman. Amen. Preach behind that pulpit. Don't get nervous now. I say amen. I've heard them say, man, your word said a woman supposed to keep silent in the church. I said, okay, well, if that's true, and it does say that, and if it really meant that, why you got it in the choir? Why you got her praying in church? Why you got her giving an announcement? How many know what I'm talking about? I mean, if it means being silent, then that means she's supposed to sit there and say nothing. So the men's supposed to be doing everything. But then they want to say, well, no, it's talking about preaching. Well, where is that in the verse? I just thought I'd throw it out there. But really, it was not the woman. If it was all left up to her, redemption would have happened in the garden. Because the woman told the truth. She said, Satan beguiled me, or he tricked me, and I ate. And that was the truth. But see, God didn't tell her. At first, he told the man. And so then he went to Adam. And you know what Adam did? He did what a lot of folk do in the Christian community, not here, but in most churches, they blame God. And he said, what? It's the woman that you gave me. I can hear him now. I was doing all right by myself. I went to sleep one day, woke up. I didn't know nothing about no woman. I went to sleep one day and woke up, and here was this woman that you gave me. So it ain't my fault. It's your fault because you gave me the girl. Now, that's what got us all in trouble. Amen. You know what I mean? Because the man didn't take his own responsibility. He tried to blame it on God. And that's why a lot of folk are in the state that they're in, because they want to blame God for everything. But Jesus says right here, if you can believe it, all things are possible. Well, I was ministering on this land. This ain't gonna be no long drawn out sermon. Amen. You know, man, but praise Jesus, you know, I'm gonna do all I can. Till he tell me to stop. Amen. But I was preaching Tuesday. I'm setting you up for something. You know, I'm setting you up for something. Something good. I was preaching at Pastor Phillips yesterday. Well, I started there Tuesday night. I was scheduled to be there just Tuesday. And they found out that I had a Wednesday open, so they let me preach yesterday, which was wonderful. And then I'm up, a lot of times God does stuff. Well, with me, sometimes he does stuff, and then he confirms it so much, and then sometimes I just forget. I mean, because he's doing so much in my life, you know what I mean? You know, and so, which really reason why I'm really glad to be here tonight. I'm going to let you know why in a minute. But I was ministering there, and then it was a strange service, if you will. Sometimes the Lord just do stuff. Sometimes he pushes stuff out of me. Now, it be in me, because it can't push nothing out that ain't in there. You understand what I'm saying? But I just be forgot. I mean, I don't prepare sermons. Now, if I prepare sermons, wouldn't be no problem, because I'd have all my notes. I'm going to know what I'm talking about. But I don't prepare sermons. I prepare myself. I learned a long time ago, you know, this is for the preacher in here, amen. I learned a long time ago. I was in another church, you know, say years ago, when I had been called to be a minister, you know, at this particular church, and had a friend of mine. His uncle had a church, and so his uncle called us. It was a church, but it was, you know, a little religious. I didn't know everything I know now, and he said, yeah, whenever you get a chance, I'd like for y'all to come over here. You come over here and preach for me. Well, you know, saying I was a little religious then, just a little bit. And I said, well, yeah, if the Lord give me a message. You know, sounds spiritual. This ain't true. And I noticed what he said there. He said, when the Lord give you a message, I said, yes, sir. He said, well, do you have a Bible? I said, yeah. He said, well, you got a message. And that taught me a whole lot then. You know what I'm saying? You know, that if you put it in, you always got something. I mean, it'll come out. But I had forgot what the Lord had told me at the beginning of this year. I had totally forgot it. And I'm up there ministering, you understand? And then my mind went blank. You know, that's how it is. When you're ministering on something, you understand what I'm talking about? And then the Lord, you understand, is trying to get you someplace else. Well, that's how he does me. Everybody's different. Tried to get me someplace else, you understand? And he didn't tell me to shut up. And he didn't tell me to sit down. And then I heard it come out of my spirit. And I told everybody, you understand, that this is the year of the triple. Hallelujah. And so what do you mean this is the year of the triple? Well, now I don't believe in numerology. But this is how this came to me at the beginning of the year. You know what I'm saying? I always pray like everybody do at the beginning of the year. You know what I'm saying? Lord, what is for this year? But what, you know, and I let me tell you something. I had totally forgot it. That's why I'm so glad to get this off of me, because I said that. And I said some things in that service, and all day, and after the service was over, I was wondering why I said that. And all day long, you understand, I've been fighting the thoughts, you understand, take it back. You understand, you know what I mean? Why'd you say that? I mean, why'd you say that? I mean, you know what I mean? I know now, you understand what I'm saying? I know now why I said it, you understand what I'm saying? And I know now why the enemy was trying to pressure me to take it back. Because I know you have whatever you say. If you believe it. And so, you know what I'm saying? I had totally forgot. And then, right here in this service, right here, while I'm standing there, the Lord reminded me that that has been in my spirit since January. Because he spoke that to me in December. I even put it in my newsletter. But I even put it in my newsletter. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's in my newsletter. You know, that this is the year of the triple. He told me that in December. And I know now why I forgot it, because mine's been already manifested. Now, I know why it manifested, because that was confirmation. I said, that was confirmation. Amen. What do you mean the triple? Well, like I said, now God I don't deal in numerology, but you know, triple is major with God. You know, there's the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You know, most of y'all know that I preach in prison, amen, and so I deal with a whole lot of stuff. But a lot of good stuff too. See, what a lot of people don't know, because I minister in prisons all the time, you know what I'm saying? I minister in hardcore prisons. And so a lot of the guys who I minister to been locked up 20 years, 30 years. But now here's the deal, though. They've been studying the word for 20 years. So you can't come in there with no generic message. And that's what I have all the time, and I allow them to ask me questions. I might have a service. A lot of times I'll just have a service, you know, a two-hour service. And I have 300 guys in there, and I never preach. And I ask them, I'll start, is anybody here got a question? Whatever it is, and I say, I'll give you a Bible answer. And for 2 hours, you understand, it's nonstop. I say, amen. And I thank God the Holy Ghost have all the answers. But that keeps me in the word. I know I got to be sharp. And so when I say Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you know, that deals with a lot, you understand, because, you know, there is some people in penitentiary And in this world today, you understand, they believe that we serve three gods. But let me help you out. That's what all the Muslims believe. See, all Muslims believe that you serve three gods. So where's your answer for it? You know, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's one, two, three. So I always explain it to them like this here. I said, oh, yes, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but it's only one God, but he manifests himself, you understand, three persons. And that sounds real good to the religious person. How many know what I'm talking about? But it don't to them because they deal with logic. So I get on that level with him. I said, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you know what I'm saying? God is one. He manifested himself in three distinct personalities. One God. I said, but ain't nothing deep about that. You one person. I said, when I'm looking at you, I'm not looking at you. I said, when I look at you, there's three of you. Three of you in one. You are a spirit. You have a soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, and y'all live in a body. I said, but the thing about God is, he can separate himself when he get ready. We're going to separate. There's going to be a separation among us. How many know what I'm talking about? But that's at the end. When you die. How many know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you ever knows, I know everybody has seen somebody in a coffin. You ever knows they look good? They do good on that body. I say, amen. But something is missing. The person that was in that body is no longer there. So that person that was in that body went somewhere, how many know what they're talking about, and they took their soul with them. We learn that in Luke chapter 16. Rich man died, and in hell, he opened up his eyes. And all five of his physical senses was in operation. He could hear, he could see, he could feel, he could taste, and he could communicate. But he's dead and buried, but he's still. So there's three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Is that right? And then there's one of you, but three distinct personalities, but you just can't separate yourself. Now, we're supposed to work on ourselves. How many know we're supposed to work on ourselves? We're supposed to work on our spirit man so that our spirit man will dominate our flesh. See, this right here is not my flesh. This ain't my flesh. It's my body. Another word for flesh, you understand, is senses. For we walk by faith, not by sight, which is one of your senses. And a better translation of it is we walk by faith and not according to our five physical senses. In other words, we walk by what the Word of God says. We don't go by what we feel. We don't go by what we see. We don't go by what we hear. Are y'all still here in the house? You know, do you know your senses? That's why you can't go by your senses. Your senses are lying to you. You ever walked in a room and just knew everybody was talking about you? I mean, it seemed like you heard your name. What? Yeah, I mean, know what I'm talking about. And they didn't even know you was in there. You ever smell something? Don't get nervous. I come preach real good. Amen. But it really wasn't what you thought it was. Smell like sweet potato pie or something. How many know what I'm talking about? But it wasn't. You ever seen something? You thought you saw something. Amen. But it wasn't real. See, your senses were lying to you. That's why God says we ain't supposed to walk according to our five physical senses because you can't trust them. But you can trust God's word. So we're supposed to walk according to our spirit. Years ago, you know, I was really studying. Man, I was doing everything. I wanted to hear God. I wanted to see him. I wanted more of God. And I'm reaching for him and reaching. And man, I've been doing it for years. You know, just trying to get a grasp of him. All of a sudden he said, you will never contact me with your mind. He said, you'll never contact me with your mind. You'll never understand me with your mind. So stop trying. Because God, you know, the Bible says the carnal mind is against God. Can't please God. God don't communicate with our mind. He communicate with our spirit. That's why we had to walk by faith. That's why we had to walk by the word of God. You know what I mean? Because that's what I know it. I know it because it says it right here. I know it. My head be going all kinds of ways. You understand what I'm saying? Thinking all kinds of stuff. But down here is where the answers come from. Now, Satan like to talk to the head. Okay. So anyway, so that's where the triple came from. And then I looked at 3 John 2. Y'all want to look, which I know y'all know it, but faith comes by having heard that. So, right? Right? Faith comes by having heard that, right? Oh, okay. I said faith comes by right. But I said faith comes by hear by heard that. Y'all didn't hear that. Amen. So, you know, we just used to somebody saying faith come by hearing. Amen. Sometimes we think we heard it and didn't hear it. But faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, right? So 3 John says, beloved, I wish above all things, 3 John 2, I wish above all things that you may prosper, one, and be in health, two, just as your soul prospers, three. Now, so God wants us to prosper in three areas. He wants you to prosper financially, materially. He also wants you to prosper in your physical body, in health. And he also wants you to prosper in your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. In fact, your prosperity in the flesh, as far as your health is concerned, and your prosperity concerning your finances or materials and things is concerned, is based on your soul prospering. Now, if your soul don't prosper, you ain't gonna prosper in them two areas. And the reason why, because your mind going to keep getting in trouble. Your will going to keep getting in the way. You know, like some people, I've heard people say, amen, and which is good. You know, I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. I said, I would too. But I found out I can have both. Mark 10 and 29. I found out I can have both. Now, if I had a choice, amen, I said, if I had a choice, I'm going to choose Jesus every time. Amen. And that's where the soul gets in there. A lot of folk, you understand, well, they always talk about prosperity. They always talk about healing. People need to get saved. It's more about salvation than prosperity and all that. But then I found out that I don't have to choose. I mean, that's some good news there. Notice what he said, Mark 10, 29. He says, Jesus said, this ain't too much for you. Oh, okay. Jesus answered and said, surely I say to you, there is no one who has left house, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mothers, or wife, or children, or land for my sake in the gospel, who shall not receive 100-fold now, in this time, houses, and brothers, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands, one wife. You know, so we're getting 100-fold wives in there. Right. He said, with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. So I get both of it. I get a chance to live good down here and live good up there too. So I don't have to choose between the silver and the gold. I can take it all. But the key is, do you believe that? Hallelujah. See, now, it ain't based on who you know in the natural. It's based on his word. And see, you got to get that settled because, you know, as soon as you start believing, Satan comes along with, now, how you going to get that? You ain't no pastor. You ain't preaching nowhere. You don't even have a job. I know I hit a nerve then. You know, I can have a reentry program, most of y'all know, Jesus House, where I house 35 men straight out of penitentiary. And that's just one place. Lord, and God, I got two now. Got a women facility and another reentry program, a step up for some guys that do better. And there is no pressure whatsoever on them getting a job. I tell them, y'all, saying, I said, now, I've got guys that's been there 7 years. 7 years. Work every day. Got a very lucrative business. He's a mechanic, has his own shop, got six bays in there. You know what I'm talking about? Plus he also got a painting business. He hires few guys from time to time, you know, at the Jesus House. You know what I'm talking about? The brother's doing well, but he loves the Jesus House. He's one of my resident directors there. He's staying there until his wife come. And it says moving out until you get one. Rent's cheap. And so, and as I tell them, you know, I got guys that, you know, 4 years, 2 years, whatever, you know what I'm saying? But we have a lot of guys come in and they just can't believe it. Because everybody putting pressure on me. Got to get a job. What if I can't get one? Which most of them can't. It usually takes, you know what I'm saying, anywhere from 90 to 6 months to find employment for a guy coming out of penitentiary. What are they going to do if they only got 30 days? In most programs, 30 to 60 days, if you ain't got no job, you understand, then you got to get out of here because you're lazy. Some families do that. Don't get nervous now. They just don't know. You know, some family do that. You know what I mean? The girls there, you understand what I'm saying? And he's looking for a job for like 3 weeks, and all of a sudden, you understand, he decided to rest. The parent come home. What are you doing? What are you doing? I'm resting today. You ain't looking for no job? Well, I got an application, but no. You, there's a job out there somewhere. You just ain't trying hard enough. And a lot of guys feel that. You understand? I mean, parents don't, you know. And then they open up the refrigerator and they hear somebody in the family room go, "There he is again, going to the refrigerator." So what happens is they get disgusted and hit the street. And then people wonder why he turned to the street. What else is he gonna do? You're almost telling him, not y'all, but okay. Almost telling him, you know, if you don't have a job within 3 days or whatever, you understand, then you got to get out of here because there's a job somewhere. You just not looking hard enough. And so I tell them, and I use Brother Steve and others as a result. I said, now, y'all know Brother Steve been here 7 years, and I'm teaching in here at least three times a week. And I said, now, when you will never, ever, ever hear me say, you need to get a job. Ooh-wee. Now, the reason why is Ephesians chapter 4. I know I'm in the right place. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, as I tell them, I know that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ was filled with criminals. Look at verse 28. Ephesians 4 and 28. Let him who stole, huh? That sounds like a criminal. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, so that he might be able to make a living. It don't say that? You mean that verse don't say work so you can make a living? That's what everybody say. Don't get nervous now. Hey, I'm not telling nobody to quit the job, please. But I'm saying, he said right here, the purpose of you having that job is so that you can have some seed so that you can give, because God's economic system is not based on your income, it's based on your giving. And so I teach them, you understand, your job is your assignment. That's why the word says, work your job as unto the Lord. What that is saying is, you probably the only Christian they'll ever see. Most people, 90% of everybody on 90% of people on jobs, amen, are not saved. 90% of them are not saved. And they work for the weekend. Amen. They're going to party hardy Friday and Saturday. And out of status quo, we might go to church on Sunday. Status quo. You understand what I'm talking about? Most of them ain't going to do that. They ain't going to turn on no Christian TV. I'm just keeping it real. They ain't going to listen to no Christian radio. Amen, or anything like it. They don't want to come near no Christian because they know they ain't living right. They living like they want to live, and don't want nobody telling me where I'm living is wrong. So how are they going to hear or see the gospel, but there you is working right beside them? And every day you come in there, you're working as unto the Lord. So every time you come in there, you got a smile on your face. So that's what God's talking about. Sooner or later, they're going to crack on you. Hey, man, why are you always smiling? everybody over there working, you understand, and everything. Why come you the last one leaving out of here? You understand? I mean, at a half an hour before they get ready to get off, all them sinners is lining up at the clock. They're hiding in the restroom. You understand? You know what I mean? If it started at 8 o'clock, they there at 7:59. Ain't no way in the world you're going to get them there 10 minutes. They ain't gonna, not no 10 minutes, no, they ain't coming there. But a Christian usually is there early. I say, amen, that Christian, when he's supposed to leave, that's when he goes to the clock. He's working that job as unto the Lord. Well, what that does, and I know you know that, it provides a witness to that person, to that sinner. That's your assignment. And your promotion on that job is based on how well you handle that assignment. Now, that's how I teach them. Now, if they acting like the heathen on the job, man, mumbling and grumbling, then God can't promote them. He wants them to be the head of that job. If there's some promotion coming, see, I teach this also in penitentiary. I teach guys in prison. I said, now, this, the word is the word. It works anywhere. So I teach them. I said, now, he said he wants you to be the head, not the tail. So I tell guys in the joint, every believer should have the best job in the penitentiary. And I tell them, the only reason why you don't have it, you don't apply for it, because you don't know it belongs to you. Man, a bunch of them had got a hold of that, man, you understand? And so they've taken over the chapel. And I say, man, which is good. And they get me in there, you understand? they go for the good job. And they're tied to my ministry. I mean, I get $6 and $1.50. I say, man, $10. I mean, every month from a bunch of convicts, they tithe to my ministry on a regular, continual basis. And they have the best jobs in the penitentiary. And they're able to be a witness in there. Yes. And that's how it should be out here on the outside. But he says, God, we already know this, God is our provider. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, right? He's our provider. So that means he'll provide for me if I ain't working. Well, okay. See, I don't preach, just to be preaching. See, that's how I've lived. I've been saved 39 years. And since I came out of penitentiary, 39 years. This is my 39th year. Saved. Ain't backslid in 39 years. And I haven't worked a secular job in 38 and a half years. 38 and a half years, ain't had a secular job. Had a job, because I didn't know what I know. Now I came out. Now God called me into prison ministry in prison, he walked into my cell. I said he walked into my cell. I'm standing out. I mean, you know, I'm sitting there. I just got through. I'm getting nervous now. I just got through with a pale male cigarette. Put that cigarette out, you understand? And Jesus was standing in my doorway. I couldn't make out his face, you understand, because of the light. It's penitentiary, third floor, third cell house, third floor. And he's standing outside my door, or in my door. You know, the light was so bright, I don't know if it was in the door or outside the door. But there he was standing there. And he's, is that a signal? Oh, yeah, I'm used to watching and praying, amen, you know. And he was standing there, and he said, go out and build me a prison ministry. But he didn't tell me how. And I didn't know nobody. And so when I come out of penitentiary, nobody knew nothing about prison ministry or anything like that. Lord, you don't want me to say that, do you? I guess I can say it here, because y'all don't see color. So y'all ain't noticed I'm black. But, you know what I'm saying? But I am still, don't get nervous now, I am still a rarity where prison ministry is concerned. 99% of prison ministries are ran by folk of a different color. 99% of them is all white. That's where the Muslims get their advantage at, because they always say Christianity is the white man's religion. And then they'll say this, watch all them Christians come in here and let me see if there's a black one in there. And 98% of prison ministries are all white. Now, they might have one brother in there, you know, one or two every once in a while. But hardly any of them is headed up by a black guy, not on no national level like we are, or international level. So just the fact of me coming in there breaks that stereotype. Not only am I black, but I'm ex-convict too. And an ex-dope fiend. You understand? So they can't deal with that. But like I said, when I started, it wasn't nothing like, the only thing that anybody in this nation knew about prison ministry was from a guy by the name of Chaplain Ray, which I got to meet, which became a real personal friend of mine, which taught me how to do prison ministry. And Chaplain Ray was a white guy. So when I came out and went to church just and talking about prison ministry, they were talking about prison ministry. You need to be trying to get some Pampers for your kids, which made sense. So I was working my job. Now, I wasn't going nowhere. I wasn't even no minister. I was just going to church. It's a regular, you know, going to church. How am I going to go inside prison? I don't even have a clue. Plus, I was on 4 years' worth of probation. Couldn't go in it anyway when I first came out. And here I am working on my job, and God spoke to me on my job and told me, quit your job. You can't work and do what I've called you to do. And now that would make sense if the doors was open. That's why I'm saying God don't deal with your senses. Common sense would say, well, you're on parole, so you can't go inside prison. That's what God called you to do. You got 4 years worth of parole to do. Work your job for at least 4 years until you get some doors open, and then quit your job. That's what common sense would say. But common sense wasn't speaking to me. It was God. And, of course, I quit. I just got married, too. And when I met my wife, don't get nervous now, she had 4 kids. Amen. I didn't have none in the world. In the world, they said I never could have kids. And I didn't have no child in the world. I got born again, met my wife, and the blessing of Abraham got on us. I said, Lord, no, I want the money, but I don't want the nations. I mean, kids was just jumping out of there. No, hold it, Lord. I didn't ask for all that. Just, you know, give me the money, but not all, you know. But my point being is, so I had met her, and I quit that job. And when I quit that job, you understand, and walked home, I ain't got no transport. I ain't got nothing. I don't even have transportation. I don't even have my own house. She's living in her mother's house, paying her mama rent, and I'm living with her. And her mama didn't like me. And here I am going to quit my job and walk home from the job, ain't preaching nowhere in the world, and tell my wife, the Lord told me to quit my job. And when I did that, I know exactly how Job felt. Because she went off on me. What? They told me not to marry no ex-inmate. They told me y'all was lazy. Wait till I get to church. Got to church and told the pastor, and the pastor prophesied on me. Yeah, prophesied. He had tongues of interpretation. Thus says the Lord, Brother Bumpus. The Lord showed me if you don't get back on that job, you're going to steal something. They're going to lock you under the penitentiary. And I called them people and begged for my job back. I went back to work. And I was working about 3 or 4 weeks. I heard that still small voice. I told you to leave his job. I said, I rebuked that in Jesus' name. That's the devil trying to get me in trouble. I'm still on probation. Can't pay my bills or anything. It's hard enough with the job to pay the bills. And he's telling me to quit my job. No, that's the devil. I rebuked that in Jesus' name. And then on, like 3 weeks later, you know what I'm saying, I'm working. I was a silk screen printer, you know. I do bumper stickers and signs and all that kind of stuff. I was doing real estate signs, and I'm cleaning my screen off, you know what I mean, and putting the paint in the barrel. And while I'm putting the paint, pushing it down because the barrel was full, I fell over in the barrel. And it sounded like God was in the bottom of the barrel. He said, I told you to leave this job. So I came up out of there, paint all over me, eyes about that big. Walking there and told him, I got to quit. And they said, if you leave this time, you can't come back. And ain't been back in 38 years. And this is what I'm saying. So I haven't had no secular job. I always like to say this. I haven't had no secular job. I wasn't preaching it in nowhere. But here it is 38 years later, and I stayed. The wife didn't fire me or divorce me. And we raised 5 grown out-of-house kids. Is that all right? And, of course, now I got 12 grandchildren. And I got 4 great-grandchildren. And all my family's in church with me, amen, working in the ministry with me, you know, and all. I mean, man, none of them went to the world. I say amen, none of them. With no job. But he said that. He said that. Oh, y'all see? I say he said that. So that's why I can say, you know, it'd be wrong for me to tell a guy, you got to get a job, because if you don't, y'all stand, you know, God can't bless you. What am I going to say about me? So I teach them that, you understand? You know what it does? It don't put no pressure on them. And then I give them Luke 6 and 30. See, I believe the Bible. That's how we started, right? If thou can believe, all things are possible. I believe the Bible. So I believe the Bible. Now, I'm wrapping this up now. And I have an aftercare facility. I don't know, it's about at least 20,000 square feet. It's a former nursing home, 46 bed, a nursing facility, 2 in the room. That's big. You go in the front door, which is the parking lot. You go straight through it. Now, it's built like that and then like that, but you go straight down there, open that door, you're on the next block. Open up We're totally electric. Open up, you know, have bad winter, right? You know, bad winter. I opened up my electric bill last month. It was $8,700. Now, that's just one house. See, he said, how's this? So we got 4 of them. How's this? But I said, but here's my point. With no job. No business on the side. I hardly ever preach in churches. Thank God for grace. You know, I'm serious. I hardly ever preach in churches. You know, I do this, and I think, and there's two other churches. One is Mount Sterling, Kentucky. I go there twice a year, and I might do one in Indianapolis. That's all the churches I'm ministering. And we don't get no grants. No state grants, no federal grants, no grants, none. And I ain't making the man work. Now, you know, that is totally insane. And they got, if we feed them, I tell them, I said, now, if you was in Jesus' house, how often could you eat? I said, all right, that's how it is here. Anytime you want to eat, you got to cook it. And let me tell you something, them brothers took me up on that. But we're never out of food. I said, we're never out of food. We had to give food away. So much food. We got so much food. And we got four freezers. Four freezers and four refrigerators. And I say, man, you understand what I'm talking about? And we had to give away food. So we provide the food. We provide the clothing. We give away clothes. In fact, we get so many clothes that we take clothes to three different prisons other than our place. So the guys, when they release, will have some clothes to wear. With no grants. And so once they get employed, and they got high-speed internet, we got a computer room, you understand, with three computers in there. Amen. High-speed internet. They got cable, TV in every room. Basic. Amen. No premium channels. Amen. You understand what I'm talking about? And once they get employed, I tell them, once you get employed, all you got to pay is $75 a week. And includes telephone. That's unheard of. And so I tell them, y'all say, now, if you get a job and you make $75 a week, guess what? I want $75. I say, now, if you get a job making $1,000 a week, guess what? I want $75. So the choice of jobs that you get is on you. No pressure. The only pressure is you got to be in the work, or we have services there 3 times a day. 3 times a day, 5 days a week. Mandatory. The only way out is like Tuesday, like at noontime. If you got a job, you don't have to come to the noon service. But every morning you got to have prayer, 7-8, and get you up out of the bed at night. And then noon, you understand, we have a Bible study, you understand, unless you're employed. And then every evening we have a Bible study. That's for everybody, because you cannot work a second shift job. If you work a second shift job, then you can't come to the Bible studies. So why are we doing that? Because he said in Matthew 6 and 33, and I'm closing now. Yeah, I'm getting ready. Yeah, okay. I usually have three of them, but praise the Lord. Matthew 6. See, I believe the word. He says, if all things are possible, if what? If you believe. And so, you know, I'm proving that I'm a believer. Matthew 6 and 33, so I practice what I preach. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to see it in demonstration. Matthew 6 and 33 says, but seek first a job, and then everything else will be added. It don't say that? No, he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, or seek God in his way of doing things. God has a way of doing things, which is in his book. And he said, and then I'll add. And then when you read 25, everything that you need is in there. Clothing, food, everything natural is listed in Matthew 25. So he tells me that if I seek him and seek his word, amen, the more I do that, then he'll add to me the things that I desire. Not just anything, the things that I desire. And man, I've taught this to them brothers, man, and some of them got some excellent jobs. Over half of the guys in our Jesus house now are employed. Paying that $75, you understand? We got about 5 of them enrolled in college. Yeah, most people don't know this, but anybody can go to a community college without a GED and without a high school diploma. Anybody can, except in Florida. Florida's rough. But any place else you can. And I've told them, and so there are some of them that's doing it. They on parole for 2 or 3 years. And some of them got ankle bracelets. So you can't go nowhere but here in this house. But if you sign up for college, I tell them takes a technical course, something that they can get through within a year, get a certificate, you understand, to qualify for a better job. And so we got four of them that are employed. Four of them, you understand, that are in college right now. We got four or five others, you understand, that's on a fixed income. You understand what I'm saying? Social Security, disability. With no pressure. Just believing that God did not lie. And it don't make no difference about no... here's my point. As I close now, we're talking about ex-convicts. That really ain't... Where the world is concerned, say... They ain't got a chance, but they do there. The mayor's office down in Indianapolis, Indiana, the mayor's office, you understand, is where they have their reentry program, the mayor's office. That's used in every city, you understand, the mayor's office where the reentry program is, you understand, which is a national thing. And the mayor's office down there tells people all the time. I found out from a resident, he goes down there for something, and they asked him where was he staying at, and he told him the Jesus house. They told him, they said, this is what they told him. He told me. They told him, they said, do you know that the Jesus House is the most successful program in the nation? That's from the mayor's office. Amen. I got guys that's come out of penitentiary that's been locked up 20, like I got one guy was locked up 38 straight years. 38 straight years. He went to penitentiary, you understand, for theft. But he was crazy. He liked to gamble, you understand, and, you know, he was crazy. He wasn't born again. So he wound up killing two guys in penitentiary. Not at the same time. He killed one, you know what I mean, and then several years later killed another one. Now, he killed the one and then killed the other, so he wound up with a life sentence. They sentenced him on the second murder to time, I forget how much time it was, in the SHU, a special housing unit. That's what it calls Supermax. That's where they keep you locked down 23 hours a day. And that's where he was at. He said this, on his 18th year in the hole, so he'd been in 18 years. 18 years in the hole. He said, not that people don't know, you know, you ain't supposed to smoke. Man. He said he had just got him some cigarettes in the hole and had him a joint in the 18 years in there. And he said he was getting ready to, you know, do what he generally do, smoke a joint, you know, smoke a cigarette. And he said he got to sitting down there, he got to thinking about his life, the people he had hurt. Ain't heard no gospel, nothing. You know, the people he'd hurt and everything, and he just got to thinking about, you know, how you've been living, and look at you. You in here. This is your 18th year in the hole. You ain't going to never get out. Because the only way out of the hole is based on your conduct. And I minister in that prison. I go to that prison, you understand, the fourth Sunday of each month, called Level 4, and that's for guys who make it out of the shoe. They can be able to come to that service there if you want to. You have to work yourself out of that penitentiary. Then they'll send you back to another one. And he said on his 18th year, he didn't know whether there was a God or not. But he said something in him said, I'm going to find out. He said he don't know why he did it, but he stripped. Took all his clothes off. Got down on his knees. And he said he was intending on just, you know, getting down there praying for a little while. He said when he got up off his knees, he had been down on his knees for 7 hours. And he was soaking wet like he had just stepped out of a shower. And that's where he met Jesus. Then he began to get into the Word. After about a year or so, he worked his way out of there. And they brought him in. He was able to come out in the general population. And he came over to my service. And he said he remembered me, you understand, from years ago when in my criminal life. And he heard that I was teaching there. He began to come to that service there. I remember seeing him in there. And he told me, you know, I told him then. I said, well, brother, what you need to do is apply for the Jesus house. But yeah, Yashinaw, God then gave us favor. I said the parole board loves for people to come to our place. They got a thing called modification where they can modify your sentence. But that's based on the prosecutor. I said, but they love Jesus House. Don't you know he went on and applied for that and they paroled that brother to the Jesus House? He's been there now going on 3 years. Work every day. I said he works every day. He got off parole last year, and now he's part of our team. We take him in prison with us. And he's standing in the yard, you know what I'm saying, and sharing his testimony, and the hardest of the hard have to bend when they hear that. Now, he said there's been pressure on him from everybody to move out. He said, man, they're out of their mind. Ain't nowhere in the world I'm going to leave the Jesus House. Like I told him, well, you're going to have to leave when you get married. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, the wife can't stay here. Amen. And the husband along with his wife. But that's the reason why every one of them is so excited that we have a women's Jesus House. Because they believe that their wife, amen, is going to come through that women's Jesus House. So, man, I had them lined up. You want me to cut the grass, Pastor Bump? No. You know, I'll keep the grass. No. We don't want no men over here cutting no grass. But my point being is, I shared all that to say that God's word is true. And he spoke to me this year and said this year was the year of the triple for the body of Christ. And what he said, you will triple for those that believe in every area of your life. So whatever your income is now, by the end of this year, it will be then triple. If you play the stock, man, I'd hurry up and give me some stock. I just thought I'd throw it in there because it's going to triple this year. Whatever the body of Christ put their hands to this year, you're going to triple in your finances. I mean, you're going to triple. Now, you got to throw the unbelief out. That's why I was doing all that to get rid of all that. You're going to triple. And you're going to triple in your health. You've been sick, you understand? You ain't going to be sick no more. And that starts tonight. Don't have to lay hands on you. The word does it. Now, ain't nothing wrong with laying hands, you understand? But I don't flow like that. Amen. I do sometimes. I was in a federal prison 2 weeks ago in spring, and I didn't think about that until right here. Springfield, Missouri. Talking about the triple. I went there for the first time last year because Chaplain knew me from an Indiana prison, and he asked me to come down. I went down there. It's the medical facility for federal prisoners. Everybody there got a medical condition. I went down there, you understand, last year, and I did two services. Laid hands on everybody, and you know, they were sick and taught them faith and on how to get out of there. I just thought about just then. This year, they had another service. I had three services. That's triple. The guy told me this in December, and I put it in my newsletter. I had a couple pieces of property, which was our church, inner city Indianapolis, amen. And it had another building next to it. You know what I'm saying? You know, in that neighborhood, amen. And I had tried to sell them before, and they couldn't get no sale. But when that triple hit, so I felt like then, so I put them on the market. February, and by January the 10th, we closed and sold both the properties. So I paid off the bills and everything, but we didn't have no church, so I'm looking for a church. My wife has always been believing God for a real church building. I mean, that's what she wanted, you know. What do you mean? She said, I want a church building with stained glass windows. Now, that was her faith. I didn't have faith for that. I'm keeping it real. And the reason why, because I know that's some money, which I didn't have. But she was believing for that. Well, now we sold that. Amen. We got a little change left. Amen. You ain't going to believe this. Yes, you are, because you're believers. So I'm looking for a property. I couldn't find no church or whatever. I'm seeing some stuff that we could get. You know me, I'm going to have to do some work on it. You know what I mean? Which I don't mind work. You know what I'm saying? You know, and one of the sisters from the church says, well, she comes, she has a picture of two churches. I look at one of them, I got stained glass windows. But this is a big church. It's like one of them big denominational churches, so you won't get upset. Stained glass windows. You know, y'all see what I'm talking about. You know, all that. And I look at it, and that thing, it had a 5-bedroom house, parsonage, attached to it. They wasn't selling the church. They wasn't advertising the church. They was advertising the house. I go by there and look at it. The house is in mint shape. The church is in mint shape. Mint shape. Nothing wrong. And they was asking for 100. I see where they was asking for like 175. By the time that I'm looking at it, they're asking for 89.9. But I don't have that. So I'm praying, Lord, boy, we sure would like to have that. I feel like we're going to get that. So let me help you out. I had about 55,000. So I told him, I said, look, tell him we'll take it. We'll take it for the 89.9. I have to give them something down. I mean, know what I'm talking about. And work around. They came back, no. Realtor said. Now, it was owned by a denomination, Four Square Gospel, owned the building. It was built in 1926. All brick. Plenty of property. The parking lot is 7,000 square feet. That's a big place. And so, you know, I mean, so 89,000, I mean, that's a steal. Indianapolis, Indiana, that's a steal. But, you know, he said, no, they got to have at least 75. I tell him I'll give them 50,000 cash and work out arrangements on the 75. I said, I'll give them 45. He came back and said, well, no, they said they can't do that, but can you come up with 55,000? I said, yes. And don't you know we purchased that property debt-free, gave them people $55,000. No loan, no bank. God tripled me. We closed on that February 10th, triple this year. We're in there having church, amen. We got the whole bottom of it. It's a community center. Got pool tables in there, you know what I'm saying, for the neighborhood, amen. You know, hardcore neighborhood, amen. I mean, it's a real neighborhood. I mean, some of everybody in that neighborhood. And I talked to my guy today. He just opened up today. Had 15 young people coming there today. You know what I'm saying? Playing ping pong and all that. You know what I'm talking about? That's downstairs. And tomorrow, they're paving the parking lot tomorrow. And I already purchased 2 basketball courts. We're getting ready to sell. We're getting ready to take that neighborhood. So that's the reason why I had forgot, because God had already manifested, amen, the triple fold in my life, and the year ain't even over with. So that was confirmation to me that this is the year of the triple. It ain't like I had millions of dollars in, I mean, know what I'm talking about, millions of dollars in the bank and all that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, God did all that in a matter of 2 months' time. When he spoke that word to me in December, by February the 10th, you know what I'm saying, the triple had already taken place in our ministry. So I'm here to tell you, this is the year of the triple. So I will get my heart ready, whatever you've been believing God for. Whatever you see, all things, whatever you've been believing God for, whatever it is going to triple this year. This is your year. This is your year. The only way it don't, you just say, I just can't believe that. But I know that ain't going to happen here because I know y'all believers. How many believers do I have in the house? Amen. Amen. So we believe that this is it. Amen. I'm closing with this. Father, I pray for every person in here. Thank you, Lord God, for that word. You the one spoken into my spirit. And I thank you, Lord God, for bringing it to my attention even today, even yesterday. And I thank you, Lord God, for the triple fold blessing upon this body of believers here and upon this church. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for the triple fold blessing, Lord God, in every area of their life. And I thank you, Lord God, that blessing begins tonight. It starts right now. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And Satan, you cannot steal their dream from them. This is the year that their dream will manifest. And we give you praise, glory, and honor for it in Jesus' name. And the church said, one more time the church said, one more time the church said, amen. God bless y'all. God bless you.